Morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Ches in Pesachim. We're back on Samach Zayin, and we're towards the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to make our way back to where we should be today. I usually say that with confidence. We're in the middle of the discussion of being sent out of Machaneh, out of the camps. When a person's tummy is so, he needs to leave the Machaneh. The Machaneh has a certain level of Kedusha Shechina, and so therefore, with every degree of Tumah that's added onto him, so it has to be sent out of further Machaneh, as we discussed yesterday. So if you're Tumah Mei, so you have to leave Machaneh Shechina. Machaneh Shechina in the Midbar is where the Mishkan was. In Yerushalayim, it's where the Azara is. If you are a Zav or a Zav or a Nida, Yoledes, anyone whose Tumah is Yosei Migufo, your Tumah is emerging out of your body, is a result of some sort of discharge coming out of your body, so therefore you have to leave Machaneh Leviya. Machaneh Leviya in the Midbar is that next concentric circle where the Leviyim lived. In Yerushalayim, that would be Har HaBayis. Har HaBayis can be a Zav or a Zava. Nida, Yoledes, and go into Har HaBayis. And finally, if you are a Mitzora, so you have to leave, you're Chutz HaMachaneh. You're literally outside the camp, and you cannot come in, not even to Machaneh Yisrael. So in the Midbar, that would mean, basically, you have to leave the entire Jewish encampment. And if you are in Yerushalayim, that means you have to leave Chomas Yerushalayim. Okay, so again, so as I explained yesterday, so basically there are three levels in the Midbar, parallel to the three levels in Yerushalayim, and based on your degree of Tumah, so that's what you have to exit, that's what you have to leave. Why is this coming up over here? So as we discussed yesterday, really the big question that came up yesterday's Daf and Daf Samach Zayin was, how do I know that Pesach is overriding Tumah? That if we are Tumah as a Jewish people, the majority of the Jewish people are Tumah, or the majority of the Kohanim are Tumah, so we still get to bring the Karban Pesach even in the state of Tumah, how do we know that? So the answer to that question came in one of two forms. Either it came from Rav Yochanan, and it came from Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan says it's based on Pesukim and Pesach Sheni. But Reish Lakish says no. It's not based on Pesukim from Pesach Sheni. It's based on this mitzvah of Shiluach, of being sent out. Okay, and as we pointed out yesterday, there were problems with Rav Yochanan's derivation. There's problems with Reish Lakish's derivation. But as long as we were here discussing the mitzvah, according to Reish Lakish, as long as we were discussing the mitzvah of Shiluach, of being sent out, so the Gemara is going to take a couple of extra minutes, a couple of extra lines going over it. The balance of Samach Zayin, which we're going to do right now, is going to give us a little more detail into these halachas of Shiluach, and then on Samach Ches, we're going to come do a little bit of Agadata. Samach Ches is a little bit, and halacha, Agadata, a little blend, but some of the Gemaras in Samach Ches, we all know already, but we get to review today. All right, bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph is where we're at. Remember the understanding was, according to the Braisa, everyone who is further tummy sent out another machaneh. If you want to take a look back, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, let's go back over Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Shimon says it's unnecessary. I'm about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. It's the first word in the line is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Eino Tzarech. Harei Omer Vishachman Machaneh Kol Tzeru V'Chol Zav V'Chol Tamil Nefesh. So the Torah says you have to be sent out. If you are a Mitzorah, if you're a Zav, you're a Tamei Nefesh. Now, Yomer Tamei Mezval, Yomer Tamei Zav. Now, again, we're going to explain this better, but right now I'm just going to read the words of Rabbi Shimon. And then in just a moment, we're going to explain it. So all you needed to say was Tamei Mez, and then you didn't even have to tell me Zav. Why? Vani Omer, Tamei Mez, Mishtachon, Zav, and Lokoshakin. Well, if a Tamei Mez has to leave, so a Zav for sure has to leave. Okay, now again, we're going to explain why that's so obvious in just a moment. So Lama Namra Zav, Litein Lo Machaneh Shechina. Machaneh Shnia. So the Zav is telling us that he has to leave an additional camp. Tamei Mez only has to leave the Machaneh Shechina. He only has to leave the Azara. Whereas opposed to if you're a Zav, so you got to go up one step further. You can't even go into Machaneh Leviyim. But Yomer Zav, Yomer Mitzara. Now, the Torah just could have stopped at Zav and then we would have figured it out. If a Zav has to leave, certainly a Mitzara has to leave. V'ani Yomer, Zav, Mishachem, Mitzara, Lokol Shekein. Lama Namer Mitzara. So why does the Torah add to the list of Mitzara? Litein Lo Machaneh Shlishis. That's to give it a third level, meaning the Mitzorah can't even be in Machaneh Yisrael, or if we go to Yerushalayim, the Mitzorah cannot be within Chomas Yerushalayim. And then when the Torah says Badad Yeshev, so Badad Yeshev obviously now is totally superfluous, because now I know he already has to leave Machaneh Yisrael, Leviyah, Machaneh Shechina Leviya Yisrael. So what is the Torah coming to tell me about that Yeshev? It's an aseh, it's a positive commandment. Meaning that not only does he have to leave the camps, but he has to be in solitary confinement. He must be by himself. Good. Period. Adkan Divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara is going to ask some very basic questions, some very straightforward questions, which probably we're already asking in our minds. And that is, why is it so obvious? Meaning, Tamei Meis has to leave. Oh, for sure, Zav. Why? In fact, if you think about it for just a moment, if we spend just a moment thinking about it, you realize, Tumas Meis, that's much more severe. Tumas Meis lasts for 7 days. Tumas Meis, you're not... The Gemara is going to make all these points. But in other words, if a Tamei Meis has to leave, a Zav for sure has to leave? Where was the logic in that statement by Rabbi Shimon? So the Gemara is going to ask basically this very question. The Zav... So my chomer de zav mitame meis. Okay, 4 lines from the bottom. So how is a zav any more chomer than a tumas meis? Ken tama yotza alav migufa. So the Gemara advances a thought. Well, by zav, you see, it's an internal tama. It's a tama that he creates from within. So because he had a discharge, and so now he's tame. So that's worse or more chomer than tumas meis, because tumas meis is external. In other words, it's the person coming into contact with human remains. That's Tumas Meis. So the self-generated Tuma, the Gemara's arguing, that's more Chamor. So Adarabah Tumas Meis, Chamor Shekein Tano Zar Shlishi Vishvi. But the Gemara says, okay, but I could also make a very compelling argument that Tumas Meis is more severe, because what's its, how do you become Tahor? Very simple. Not very simple. I got to go get sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma on day 3 and on day 7, which is not true by Azav. By Azav, you just need to count clean days. So again, what's so compelling that if the Tamei Meis has to leave, well, certainly the Zav has to leave. Amakra Tamei V'chol Tamei L'Rabbos Tamei Sheres. So the Gemara says that you're right. In other words, Tamei Meis Chamashkein Tamei Hazar Shlish Amakra Tamei V'chol Tamei L'Rabbos Tamei Sheres. So the Gemara says, well, if you look back at the Pasuk, in other words, he's psukim back in Parshas Naso, it doesn't say Tameh, it says Vichol Tameh. So Vichol Tameh is coming to include Tameh Sheretz as well. Vizeh Chamer mitameh Sheretz. And we know that this is more Chamer than Tameh Sheretz. Meaning, okay, Enachinami. Meaning, can you compare Zav to Tumas Meis? No. Meaning, we can't say that Zav is necessarily more Chamer than Tumas Meis. On that, the Gemara says, that's a push. But we also know, not only is it limited to Tumas Meis, it's also Tumas Sheretz as well. Meaning, the person who touches a Sheretz can't go into Machane Shechina. Okay, now there, once we said that, now we get it. Because now, if a Sheretz has to leave Machane Shechina, for sure Zav has to leave Machane Shechina. Meaning a Zav unequivocally is more Chamor than a Sheretz, than Tumas Sheretz, and somebody touching a Sheretz. Somebody touching a Sheretz, what's the result? Tonight he'll be Tahor. I mean, again, he has to go to the mikvah, but tonight he'll be Tahor. Tumas Meis, 7 days, sprinkling of the Paraduma. It's unequivocally more Chamor. So the Gemara says, you're right. Comparing it to Tumas Meis, that's not going to get us anywhere. Comparing it to Tumas Sheretz, clearly Zav is more Chamor than Sheretz. So the Gemara says, V'zav Chamor mitame Sheretz. V'zav Chamor mitame Sheretz, period. U'may Chamor kedamran. So the Gemara says, okay, but I still can make an argument that Sheretz is more Tameh because Sheretz is Metameh Be'ones, meaning that when you touch a Sheretz, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You touch a Sheretz, you're going to become Tameh. Is that true by Zav? And the answer is no. By Zav, the Zav is only Tameh if the discharge that comes out of the body is done, not Be'ones, against his will, but Beratzon, in other words, it had to have been some sort of behavior that he demonstrated in order to arrive at that. But if it comes down on its own, so it's not, so he's not going to be tummy. So interestingly enough, as mild, quote unquote, as mild as Tumas Sheretz is, there's still a chumra in Tumas Sheretz that you don't have by Zav. So the Gemara says, Amre ki agavna Zav nami tumui metame ba'ones. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Zav is also metame ba'ones. Well, how so? Kedravuna damar avuna rishona shozav metame ba'ones. Because the first discharge that's experienced by a Zav is equivalent to a Baal Keri, which we'll talk more about over the course of this morning. It's equivalent to a Baal Keri. It's not the same. We've talked about this a number of times. This discharge of a Zav is not, it's not a seminal discharge. It's different in color. It's different in texture. The Mishnayos give differences between them. It's a different type of discharge. But halachically speaking, the first discharge of a Zav is just like a Baal Keri. Just like a Baal Keri is metame ba'onis, so too, the first discharge of a Zav is metame ba'onis. Now we level the playing field. So now there is really no argument that one can make that a sheretz is more chamer than a zav. The only conclusion is that a zav is more chamer than a sheretz. And so now, let's go back. It's very simple. Now the Torah says, you have to leave machane shechina. When I say you, I mean someone who touches a tumas meis, someone who touches a sheretz. Right? You're going to have to leave machane shechina. And then the Torah says, and the zav. Well, and the zav, I know that. I can figure that out already. Meaning again, because zav is more chamer than maga sheretz. So now, the argument is, we could have figured out Zav. Zav would have been included because unequivocally it's more chamor than Tuma Sheretz. So therefore, Zav must go out a second machaneh. Zav has to leave machaneh shechina. Okay, period. So that takes us now through step one. Step one is to explain how we know that when the Torah mentions Zav, it has to be that he's ejected to the second machaneh, outside the second machaneh. Good. Now we got to go move on to step three. Step three is a Metzorah. What was the Rabbi Shimon's point? The Torah didn't have to say Metzorah. And the fact that the Torah says Metzorah means that the Metzorah, he's ejected from all Gimel Machanos, obviously. So now the Gemara wants to know, why is that obvious? My Chomrei de Metzorah Mizav. So now, why is Metzorah so much more Chomer than Zav? Where the Torah didn't even have to say that. Shekein tol prio primo. So the Gemara says, regarding the Metzorah, so we know that he has to do certain things that is not done by any other tummy. Notably, he has to tear his clothes, right? He has to priya, he has to grow out his hair, and prima, he has to tear his clothing. So those are two actions that a Metzorah has to do that is not done by any other tummy. V'asa b'tashmi shamita. Furthermore, a Metzorah is prohibited to engage in tashmi shamita with his wife. So adrav azav chamor shekein metame mishka v'moshe v'metame klicheres beheset. So the Gemara says, really, if you want to line up chumras, so the Zav has also a number of chumras that you don't have by Mitzorah. Number one is Matame Mishkav Moshev, as we've discussed time and again. When a Zav sits down on a chair or on a bed, so the chair or the bed, even if he doesn't actually touch it, as long as it's supporting his weight, it will become tummy, and furthermore, it will become tummy to the same degree as a Zav himself. So this is Tumas Mishkav Moshev. You have that exclusively by Zav, you don't have that by Mitzorah. Furthermore, it's Matami Klicher's Beheset. If he causes the movement of earthenware, even though he didn't pick it up, even though he didn't touch it, but in other words, he causes its movement, it will become tummy. And that is also exclusive by Zav, you do not have that by Mitzorah. So it's hard to argue now that the Torah didn't have to say Mitzorah because it's more chumra than Zav. Not true. There's a number of chumras by Zav that you don't have by Mitzorah. So Amakra, Zav, Echol, Zav, Rabbos, Balkari. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. But the Torah doesn't say Zav, it says V'chol Zav. And anything like the Zav. Now what's anything like the Zav? That includes the Balkari. So in other words, the Balkari also has to leave Machan Levia. Now that we know that Baal Keri has to leave Machane Levia, now we're going to compare Mitzorah to Baal Keri. And the Gemara is going to argue there's nothing to say. Mitzorah is for sure more chomer than Baal Keri. Oh, Mitzorah chomer mika Baal Keri. My chomer kedamara. So the Gemara says, and what is it? As we've discussed, Mitzorah, priya, prima, growing out his hair, tearing his clothing, also b'tashma shamita. These are chomers by a Mitzorah that you don't have by a Zav. I'm sorry, that you don't have by a Baal Keri. Adraba Baal Keri chamor shekein metame b'mashehu. So the Gemara says, okay, I could still point to the Baal Keri and I could say, the Baal Keri is more tam, it has a chomra, and that is sheer, the amount. How much needs to exit the man who has a seminal discharge? And the answer is, there is no sheer. It's a mashehu. So I do have a chomra by Baal Keri that I don't have by Mitzorah, and now we're kind of back to square one. So why is it that we automatically assume, oh, Mitzorah is so much more chomra than a Baal Keri? There are chomras, but it's not unequivocally more chomor. So the Gemara says, Savalak Rabbi Nasan. So the Gemara says, nope, the author of this brisa, Rabbi Shimon, so he holds like Rabbi Nasan, the Tanya Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Zav Tzarech Kechasimus Pia Ama, So we start off with a zav. The zav, there is an amount, a shear of how much has to leave his body in order for him to become a zav. Enough to fill up the urethra hole. So the Gemara says that's true by a zav. The etish lebalkeri lezav. That's also true by a balkeri as well. Good. So that man now means that there is a shear by zav and balkeri, at least according to Rabbi Nason. The Gemara is arguing that Rabbi Shimon subscribes to this viewpoint. Now that there's a shear, so now we're back to, there's really no chumrah that we can point to by balkeri that's over Mitzorah. Mitzorah's got all the chumras. Balkeri doesn't have any of the chumras. So now, had the Torah said balkeri and stopped there, I would have figured it out. If the balkeri has to leave Beis Machanos, the Mitzorah has to leave Beis Machanos. Why then does the Torah add Mitzorah? To give us an additional Machaneh. He's going to be ejected from Machaneh Yisrael. Okay. V'chol tzaru alamali. And finally, just now to round it out, so now the Gemara says, look, we had v'chol tamimes. We had v'chol zav. And we both times we added, for the v'chol tamimes, we added the magasherets. For the v'chol zav, we added the balkeri. So now it also says v'chol mitzora. Who's there? Who's added there? Meaning, who else is ejected from all Gimel Machanos? So the Gemara is, the mission over here is nobody. Nobody else. So, v'chol tzaru l'amali, I did k'siv v'chol zav, k'siv nami kol tzaru. Okay. The Gemara says symmetry. It's funny, that's an answer that you usually find by Mishnayos. Meaning, usually the Gemara says, by Mishnayos, the additional words can be explained because there's a need for symmetry. But the Torah, I can't think of another place, but that doesn't mean anything. But in other words, it's rare, it's odd that the Gemara is answering up for the pasuk, right?
We had previously with the locus with back in regards to the pole something previously, and we had one opinion that didn't regard at all.
Right, that it's just there to keep everything symmetrical. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Shapikamer Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara goes on and explains. Okay. So now, remember, this whole discussion was engendered by a braisa on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, where you had the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yehuda's position, if you turn back and you go back to the beginning of the braisa, Yashav right Shelo Yei Tmei Machem Yoshi Memo Yachol Yehu Zavenu Tmei Mesa Mishtach LaMachane Achas Tamalamer V'lo Yitamuz Machanehem Litin Machane Lezeh U'Machane Lezeh. So Rav Yehuda's drasha is Machanehem, their respective machanos. To which Rabbi Shimon says, I don't need that drasha. And then Rabbi Shimon went on to explain how each additional Tamei person obviously, logically, has to be expelled to a further level. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon seems to be making a very good point. I mean, it took us now, yesterday, the end of yesterday and the beginning of today, to understand Rabbi Shimon and to get our heads wrapped around Rabbi Shimon. But now we're here. So the Gemara says, Shabikam Rabbi Shimon. So Haumi bai lelichedatanya, Rabbi Lazar mayachod dachu zavim mitzorim v'nechnasu lazara b'pesach haba b'tuma. So yachul yu chayavim. Now, as we pointed out, Pesach haba b'tuma, when the carbon Pesach is born in the state of tuma. So who can bring it? So we already established tamei meis. Only tamei meis can go in and bring it. All other tamei people cannot. But what if I had my zaven and my mitzarayim, who normally are to be expelled from machane levia machane yisroel? What if they push their way through and go into the azara? This year they were offering Pesach B'Tumah. So Yachol Yuhu Chayavin. So I might have thought they would be Chayav Tamalam. So the Gemara says that's what the Pasuk's coming to teach us. That even though they can't bring Karban Pesach, they don't have a dispensation to bring Karban Pesach, but if they walk into the Azara in a year where we're bringing Pesach B'Tumah, they're not going to get zapped with kareis. B'shasha tamei meisim mishtachin zavim mitzrayim mishtachin. Neimet tamei meisim mishtachin ein zavim mitzrayim mishtachin. Because to a certain degree, it's a package deal. Even though the machanas they are ejected from are different, but still they're all bundled together. Once tamei meis is allowed access and entrance into the azara, again that would be when Pesach is brought b'tumah. So too the zav and the mitzora also have access to the Azara. It's odd, because they're not permitted to bring the Karban Pesach, but they're not going to be hit with Kares for being a Tamei person going into the Azara. Once the Tamei Mace can go in, they can go in as well.
Why don't you just walk out? Because
the fact that the Torah puts them together, right? The Torah says, Kol Tzarua, V'chol Zav, V'chol Tamei Lenefesh, that tells me that once one can go in, all of them can go in. Even, and again, by the way, it's an oddity because only the Tamei Mace is actually going to be offering the Karban Pesach. You could have made the argument, no, only Tamei Mace can go in because he can bring the Karban Pesach, not the other two. The fact that the Torah bundles them together tells me that they're a package deal. Back to the Gemara, Mitzvah Meshachan, Ein Zav Mitzvah Meshachan, Amar Mar, Zav V'chol Zav L'Rabbos Balkari, Misayil L'Rav Yochanan. Okay? And now we're basically going to be talking about the relationship between Zav and Balkari. Again, let me just set this up. A Zav is a man who has some sort of emission, some sort of discharge out of the private area of his body. Now, it's not a seminal discharge. It's something similar. I guess in modern medicine we can compare it to something like gonorrhea, but it's just a way of just us talking about it. I'm not saying it is, but it's something like that. A man who has a Zav discharge, right, much like Tsaras, we really don't know what it is. We talk about it, but we're not sure what it is. So it's not leprosy. So so too, by Zav, we talk about it, although we don't exactly know what it is. But anyway, but it's a discharge. A man who has a Zav discharge, so he's Tamei. If he has two or three Re'iyas, so then he's a major Zav. He's got to count 7 clean days. He's got to bring a carbon at the end. Okay, in other words, the halachas of Zav. A Balkari is a man who has a seminal discharge. And basically, the point that we're going to make is that Zav, even though it's not a seminal discharge, but the first Re'iyah of a Zav is very similar in halacha to a Balkari. So the Gemara says, first of all, even before we go on in the Gemara, we already made that point. Because the Torah says, V'chol Zav, and we said, what's the V'chol? Who is that coming to include? A Balkari. So you see that a Balkari and a Zav are very connected with one another. So the Gemara says, I'll show you another connection. I'm Rav Yochanan Mechilos on this Kachu. So the first statement of Rav Yochanan is that the tunnels do not have the Kedusha of the Azara. A statement we're going to come back to later in the Masechta. We'll talk more about this idea that the tunnels of the Azara are not sanctified. Okay, which at the simplest level means that if you're somebody who has to be ejected from the Azara, so what you can do is you don't have to actually leave horizontally from the Azara, you can actually leave vertically, meaning you'll go down, and once you're subterranean, so then you're no longer in the Azara. Okay? But again, we'll come back to that statement later. That statement right now is just part of the memory of Rav Yochanan. It's the second part of the statement which we want to focus on. U'balkari mishalei chutz l'shtei machanos. And the Balkari, where is he ejected? He's ejected from shtei machanos. He has to leave not only the machane shchina, he has to leave the machane levia as well. Okay, good. So once again, we have a b'raisa of Rabbi Shimon. We have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan speaking to this idea that a Balkari halachically is like a Zav. Just like a Zav has to leave machane shchina and levia, so too a Balkari. Meisvei the Gemara challenges Balkari kemaga sheretz. So we have a b'raisa that says that a Balkari is like a maga sheretz. So now the b'raisa says that they're equivalent. My lav lamachano sam, doesn't it mean in terms of where they're ejected from? Lo l'tuma sam. So the Gemara says no. In terms of tuma. So the Gemara says tuma hi tumas erev ksiv bay. I don't need a b'raisa. I have psukim in the Torah that speak to the idea that a Balkari is tummy towards the evening, meaning a man who has a Balkari discharge, a seminal discharge. So what's his tumma status? He told us in the mikvah, and that evening he's good. What's the story with a Magasheretz? Same story. He tovels in the evening, he tovels during the day, and that evening he'll be good. And that's not a drasha, that's a pasuk in Chumash. So we got to go back to what we said earlier, that the Bryce's equivalency of a Magasheretz to a Balkari is that they're ejected from the same camp, notably a Machane Shechina. But that's it, not beyond that point in time. Lo, the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, no, let's not say that. La olam l'tumah sam. Let's go back to what we said originally, that their tumah is equivalent. And the point is that just like a magasheretz metame bonus, as we already explained, that when you touch a sheretz, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter that you didn't mean to touch the sheretz. Even if somebody threw a sheretz at you, and you had really no interest in touching it, and you touched it against your will, you're still going to become tame. Tumah of a sheretz is automatic. Same thing with a balkeri. A balkeri, the tumah is automatic. It doesn't matter why or how you had that seminal discharge. The context of it makes no difference whatsoever. You're still going to be with tumas balkeri. Why would I have thought otherwise? Very simply, because of what we said earlier. Because that's not true regarding a zav. Regarding a zav discharge, if a man has a zav discharge be'ones, if it was against his control, against his will, he was sick, whatever the exact circumstances were, but if it was be'ones, he's not going to be tumah with tumas zav. I might have thought Baal carries the same story. So the chiddush of the Braisa is, and this you're not going to find in the Torah, the chiddush of the Braisa is that when it comes to Tumas Baal Keri, just like Maga Sheretz, it's Tame even Ba'onis. Meisve, we're now in the very top of Samaches Amad Aleph. Boal Nida Ketame Meis. A Boal Nida, a man who has relations with the Nida, is just like Tumas Meis. Limai. Once again, we want to know regarding what halach are we talking about. Now, cannot be talking about the duration of Tumah, how long they're going to become Tumah, because the Torah tells us in both circumstances. A man who has relations with a Nida, he's Tumah for 7 days. A man who touches a mace, he's Tumah for 7 days. So in terms of amount of time, I don't need a Braisa, I took him in the Torah. So Ela Lavle Machano Sam. So that's talking about their encampments. Where are they sent out of? Meaning, where is a Tumah Meis sent out of? Only Machane Shechina. Where is a Boal Nida sent out of? That's only Machane Shechina. And that's the second half of the Braisa. And now the Gemara's argument is, I mean, to say for Machane Osam, Havereisha Nama Machane Osam. So you have to assume, if this is talking about Machane, the first part of the Braisa is also talking about Machane, which would arrive us to the conclusion that the Baal Keri is only sent out of Shechina and not Leviya. So the Gemara just simply deflects this and says, look, two halves of the Braisa, not necessarily talking about the same topic. When we were talking about the relationship of the Baal Keri to the Maga Sheretz, that's talking only in terms of Tumah. And when we're talking about the relationship between the Baal Nida and the Tameh Meis, that's only talking about in Machane. Fine, two different topics, even though it's the same Braisa. Once again, this idea that a mitzara is more stringent than a zav, and a zav is more stringent than a tamei meis. Yatza bal keri shetamei meis chamer mimenu. Bal keri tamei meis is more chamer than it. My yatza. Now, what does that mean? Excluding. So lav yatza mechlal zav uvalachlal tamei meis. Doesn't it mean that we're going to take the bal keri and exclude him from the category of zav and put him in the category of tamei meis? Da tamei meis chamer mimenu, because we know that tamei meis is more chamer than a bal keri. Machane Leviya. We also know that a Tamei Meis can go into Machane Leviya. So the Gemara says, Lo yatsa mi Machane Tamei Meis v'nichlans l'machane Zav. No, he goes into the encampment. He's comparable to a Zav. Wherever Zav can't go, the Baal Keri can't go as well. V'yav agav the Tamei Meis chamer mimenu. And even though the Tamei Meis can't, if you compare Baal Keri to Tamei Meis, in every way, Tumas Meis is going to be more chamer than Baal Keri. But Machane, I'm sorry, Tumas Meis chamer mimenu. But nevertheless, though, we're going to compare it to something which is more comparable to, which of course is a Zav. Okay, period. One more point, and then we'll wrap it all up. We have a Braisa being taught in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdima. He is to be sent out of the Machane. Zu Machane Shechina. Lo Yavo El Toch Machane. And he's not allowed to go into the Machane Zu Machane Leviya. Mikan Lebal Keri Sheyatzeh Chutz L'Shtei Machanos. And once again, this Braisa arrives at the same conclusion that we've been hammering now again and again, that the Baal Keri has to leave both Machanos. He has to leave Machane Shechina, and he has to leave Machane Leviya. So Amar Lei, so he says to Makati, look, the drush is strange, meaning, go back and look at that pasuk again. Now, we spliced up the pasuk, but if you look at the pasuk, V'yatzal Mechutz Machane, lo yavo toch hamachane. He's to leave, he's not allowed to enter. So the Gemara says, lo alita, well, I understand. He hasn't gone in, and I think that you took him out. So you took him out of an area that hasn't even gone in yet. So Lishna Achrina, or just another way to ask the same question. Akatilo, I think that he hasn't even left yet, and Ailita, and you put him in there. Ela'ema. So the Gemara says, okay. So rather, here's what we're going to say. Michutz l'machaneh. He is to be ejected from the machane, zumachane levia. That's talking about machane levia, and lo yavol tacha machane zumachane shechina, and he's not allowed to enter, that's machane shechina. Meaning what we're going to do is we're going to put the Baal Keri in level 2, in machane levia, and what the Torah is saying to him is as follows. You only go in one direction. Meaning, you leave machane levia, and which direction is that? Meaning exit. Don't go into Machane Shechina, but rather leave Machane Levia. And again, same basic point. The Baal Keri has to leave Beis Machanos. Maskef la Ravina, ima I David la Machane Shechina. Ulav or la ba'aseh v'la osaseh. Perhaps. What the Torah is saying regarding the Baal Keri is that he can't go into Machane Shechina, both by negative prohibition and by positive commandment. It's a lav and an asay. Im kein lema krav yatsa mechutz ha-machane v'lo yavol toch. So the Gemara says, if that's true, then leave out the last word in the pasuk. Leave out the word machaneh. Ha machaneh la malish mamina liten lo machaneh acheres. The fact that the Torah adds another machaneh tells me that he has to leave two camps. He has to leave the camp of machaneh shechina and has to leave the camp of machaneh levia. Period. Ad kan. Okay, that takes us through a long, but good tangent in terms of this mitzvah of shiloach. Okay, to quickly summarize, after a lot of Gemara, all the halach is very clear cut. If you're a Tamei Meis, or if you're a Magasheretz, you must leave Machane Shechina, which is the Azara. That's the actual temple courtyard. If you are a Zav or a Baal Keri, you must leave Machane Levia, which is Har Habayis. And if you are a Mitzara, so then you have to leave all Gemma Machanos, you can't be in Yerushalayim. Quite frankly, that is the entire summary of everything we learned. For those people who do venture up to Har Habayis, as I mentioned yesterday, it's done, it's controversial. But for those who do venture, I speak about the men who go up to Har Habayis, so they have to tovel in the mikvah. Right? Why? Based on the Gemara, we just learned. The Gemara says very clearly that just like a Zav can't go into Machane Levia, a Baal Keri can't go Machane Levia. Machane Levia is a Har Habayis area. So, if a married man is a Baal Keri, so in order for him to go up into Har Habayis, he's got to get rid of his Tumas Baal Keri. How does he do so? It's very simple. He goes to the mikvah, and then he waits till nightfall. And then he'll be able to, and then he's no longer Baal Keri. Even though, despite the fact that he still has other layers and levels of Tumah, notably he's still a Tamei Meis, but Tamei Meis is allowed to go into Machane Levia. Tamei Meis simply cannot go into Machane Shechina. So for those who do venture, so they tell them the mikvah, they get rid of their Tumas Baal Keri, and then they go up to Har Habayis.
What part of the Machane
Shechina? Not encouraging, just explaining. Yes?
What part of the Machane Shechina is a Zara allowed to go up? Assuming he's taller.
What
part of the Machane Shechina in a Zara is allowed to go up? Even
as right, so in other words, correct. In other words, right on the in the Azara, there was actually kind of a line drawn somewhere in the beginning of the Azara that basically said, you Yisrael should not pass. Meaning, right, but the point is, though, is that he can actually step foot in the Azara. Meaning, if you are a Tamei Meis,
that's Machane Shechina?
This is, yeah, any area in the Azara is Machane Shechina. Correct. Mm-hmm. A Tamei Meis, or Magasheretz, the moment they step foot in the Azara, that's Kares. That's a Kares prohibition.
Mich.
Right, correct. In other words, right, the basic argument is that that's an external tumah as opposed to zav and zava and a Baal Keri, which are, that's a self-generated tumah. That's one of the arguments.
And the difference between the Sora and the Zav?
And the Mitzora is because of the chumras of Priya and Prima and in the Isra of Tashmish and Mita, they have to grow their hair, they have to tear their clothing, they can't be intimate. And furthermore, I mean, to put it simply, the Torah says, chutz ha-machaneh, meaning the Torah basically says, wherever everyone else goes out, you have to go out even further. Meaning, you're out there. And then the Torah also says, Badad Yeshev, he sits by himself. Michui Krevav. So the Mishnah mentions that when the 14th day of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, so we bring the Karm Pesach, meaning Pesach overrides Shabbos. Okay? The two big points that we've been basically discussing since the beginning of the Perek. Pesach overrides Shabbos, Pesach overrides Tumah. We go back to the topic of Pesach overriding Shabbos. So now, in our Mishnah, we had a major machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in terms of what aspects of the Karban Pesach. We all agree that if it's Avoda itself, that for sure is going to be overriding the Shabbos. What's included in the Avoda? So the first thing the Mishnah mentioned was Shechita, obviously. Shechita is normally a malacha, but because we're shechting the Karban Pesach, so that Shechita's Karban Pesach is going to override Shabbos. Then the Mishnah mentions Zrikas Adam. And we pointed out when we read the Mishnah, that's difficult because there's no real violation of Shabbos by sprinkling of the blood. So I mentioned back in the beginning of the Mishnah, Tosos raises that issue, and Tosos suggests maybe an Achinami. Right, point taken. Then, what was the third thing mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Mishnah mentioned Shechita, Zrikas Adam, and then Michui Krevav. Okay, now Michui Krevav, hard to translate. And the Gemara right now is going to make an attempt to give some sort of understanding of what that is. So let's take a look at the Gemara together. We're now on Samech Ches Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots. Michui Krevav, my Michui Krevav, Rav Huna Amar, Shemenakva Mesakin. So you take the intestines and you perforate them. A perforation in the intestines. And why would I do that? For the purposes of draining. Right. In other words, if there is no perforation, so there basically there's no flow, there's no airflow, and so therefore, in order to create an airflow, so we're going to perforate, and so that's what we're allowed to do. If you take a look at Rashi on the bottom of column on the right column, meaning this daf, this amud has no tosfos. This amud is Rashi flanking both sides. So Rashi writes on the bottom of the right hand column, Menakvim Misakin Shiyatzar Rei. So that way we'll get the excrement to come out of the intestines. Because if I leave them in there right now, so they're going to foul up the intestines. And then Rashi goes on to give a word explanation. So it could be, in other words, what does the word michui actually mean? It's either extraction of the excrement, or Rashi says, if you take a look at the end of the Rashi, it could be that the word michui is actually the piercing, the perforation that's created. Okay, Rashi, it's interesting. Timcha et zechar amalek. Right, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to poke holes at the memory of Hamalek. Right, that's the word michui. Another possible explanation. Okay, anyway, so proposal number one of the Gemara is it's creating perforations in the intestines so that there's airflow so that we're going to get the excrement to come out of the intestines. So, Chia Barav Amar, Sirka Damaya, Denafka Agav Duchka Desakina. It's applying pressure to the intestines so that we're going to squeeze out by applying pressure all the nastiness that's inside of the intestines. Both excrement and the Gemara refers to it as, Rashi refers to it as basically, right, just, waste, all the waste, yeah? They did this in the Azara. Remember, they had a canal running through the Azara so that there was they had a sewage system, basically, inside, so that it wouldn't, all this would not be kept in the Azara. So, demay denafka gavducha desakin. Amarav, my time de chia barav. So, what's behind the position of chia barav? So, he says, we have a pasuk in Yeshayo. The pasuk says, dechsiv vecharvos mechim garim yochelu. The mechim, that's the word we're looking for right now. That's the same word as michui. The swords of the fat one, garim yochelu, will be eaten by literally strangers. Difficult pasuk to understand. My mashmas of the Gemara says, so what does that pasuk actually mean? You'll see time and again throughout Shas that there was a targum written on Nach, on Navi, certainly on Navi Machronim, was written by Rav Yosef the Amora, so he has a running targum on Nevi'im, so you're almost always going to find that the Targum is Targum Rav Yosef. V'niskehem derishii, the possessions of the wicked, tzadiki yechsanun, so it's going to be inherited by the tzadikim. That's what the pasuk in Yeshayahu was referencing, obviously talking about la'asid lavo in the world to come. V'ra'uk vasim kedabram. Now the pasuk says, v'ra'uk vasim kedabram, and the shepherd of the sheep kedabram. What does that mean? So Amar Menashe bar Yirmiya Amar Rav Kemedubar Bam, as we have spoken about. My Kemedubar Bam, what does that mean? Amar Abaye V'charvos Mechim Gerim Yochelu. Meaning it's a self-reference. The Pasuk is referencing itself. That, again, what all the possessions of the wicked are going to be inherited by the tzaddikim. So Amar Rav Bishlam Iksiv Charvos Kedakamart. So the Gemara says, I would say that you're right, had there been no vav in the pasuk. But how should it say vicharvos? But the pasuk says vicharvos milsachrisa kamar. It sounds like the pasuk is making an additional point. So ela amarav k'tarav chanan amarav damarav chanan amarav atidim tzadikim sheichayu asameisim. It means actually that in the world to come, in the yemos hamashiach, so there's going to be tchias ameisim, there's going to be resurrection of the dead, and it's going to be done. It's going to be facilitated through the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are going to be the ones doing tchias ameisim. Now, obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be doing the tchias ameisim, but through the tzaddikim. So, k'siv ha'chavruk v'asim k'dabram, u'k'siv ha'sam yiru bashan v'gil ad, kimei olam. The pasuk in Micha says, the shepherds, bashan v'gil ad, are going to be kimei olam. It's going to be like the days of the world. What does that mean? Bashan ze Elisha, habamina Bashan. So Bashan is the reference to Elisha. He comes from Bashan. Shenemar vayani v'shafat bebashan. Uksiv po Elisha ben Shafat asher yatzak maimai de Eliyahu. So that is the Bashan mentioned in the pasuk. That's Elisha. And Gilazu Eliyahu. Shenemar v'yom Eliyahu atishbi. Mitoshvei Gilad. So in other words, so now we know that the pasuk in Micha is referencing Elisha and Eliyahu. What, by Rebbe Talmud, by the way. Eliyahu being the Rebbe, Elisha being the Talmud. What do the two have in common? They both were involved in Tchias HaMesim. They both resurrected the dead. In fact, Elisha was given 1 degree greater. In other words, Elisha was able to resurrect two people. Eliyahu resurrected one person, but in other words, they both were involved in Tchias HaMesim. So just like the two of them were involved in Tchias HaMesim, so to La'asid Lavan, in the future, the tzaddikim will be the ones facilitating Tchias HaMesim. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yonasan, Asidim tzaddikim sheyichu mesim. Again, another statement speaking to this very same idea, that the tzaddikim are going to be facilitating Tchias HaMesim. Shenemar od yashu zekenim zekenos b'charvos, I'm sorry, b'rchavos Yerushalayim, v'ish mish'anto b'yado me'rov yamim. People are going to be living for extraordinarily long lives. Uksiv v'samta mishanti apnei hanar, and we have a reference going back now to Eliyahu. He placed his mishan apnei hanar. So once again, you see this idea that the tzaddik in the world to come are going to be facilitating tchias hamesim much like Eliyahu did. I think this one is Eliyahu. I think. Eliyahu was with the child.
That was Elisha.
So which one was Eliyahu? All right, I'll look it up after. So Ula Ramiksiv Bila Hamavasanetzach. The pasuk said, one pasuk says that there's no longer going to be any death. Meaning, we're going to get to a point of, well, let's call it right now Yemos HaMashiach. Okay, so there's going to be a point where there's no longer going to be any death. Uksiv, on the other hand, the pasuk says Kianar Ben Meashana Yamos. On the other hand, you lived 100 years and you're dying? Yeah, that was young. In other words, but what you see from that is that there is an expiration. People will live very long lives, but with a limit. So one pasuk indicates that there is no death. Bila lamavis lanetzach. Another pasuk indicates that, no, there's death, it's just people are going to be living exceptionally long lives. Dying at 100 is considered dying very young. So lo kasha kam b'Yisrael kam be'ofdei be'akom. So the Gemara's answer is one pasuk is talking about Yisrael. So for them bila netzach, bila lamavis lanetzach. There, there's no death. But when it comes to goyim in the Yemos HaMashiach, so there they live exceptionally long lives. Ve'ofdei kocham v'may bayahasim. The Gemara asks, really goyim? So the Gemara, what are they doing there? So the Gemara says dichsev. The Gemara says no, they're there. Ve'amdu zarim ve'ra'ut sonchem uvnei nechar ikarechem. Farmers taking care of the vineyard, in other words, tending to the physical needs of this world. Rav Chisda Ramiksev, another seeming contradiction in describing the world to come. The sun and the moon are going to be embarrassed, meaning they're not even going to do their job anymore. Uksiv ve'ayorlavana korachama v'orachama yeshivasayim korashivasayimim. On the other hand, another pasuk indicates that, first of all, the moon is going to be radiant, like the sun. And furthermore, the sun's going to be strong as ever. 7 times greater than the Shivas Yemei Abreshis. But in the meantime now, the Pesukim give two differing viewpoints of what the sun and moon are going to do. Pasuk number one indicates they're not going to work anymore. The second pasuk says just the opposite. Lo kasha kan olam haba kan limos haMashiach. So the Gemara says we're describing two different time periods. The Imos haMashiach, that's where the Or Lavana and the Or Chama are going to be equivalent one another, and then olam haba, they're just simply not needed. You have, as Rashi describes, Ziv Zohar Umare Shechina, right? The illuminance provided by the Shechina during the Olam Haba period, which is after Yom HaMashiach. So there, sun, moon, just not necessary. Okay. This all assumes, first of all, it assumes a lot of things. It assumes that there are two distinct time periods. There's Yom HaMashiach and there's Olam Haba, and those are two different time periods, which we've seen that a number of times. It also assumes, however, that when we get to the Yom HaMashiach, there's going to be changes in physical nature, meaning that the moon is going to be illuminating as much as the sun. So the Gemara says, you know who doesn't agree with that? Now, you could say the Rambam, and you'd be right, but right, obviously the Rambam is only 1,000 years after. No, not that much. But in other words, but it's Shmuel. Shmuel consistently says, you can see it on the side of the Gemara, he says it a number of times throughout Shas, that there's not going to be any physical changes between before Yom HaMashiach and during Yom HaMashiach. L'shmol da'amar, ein bein olam azel Yom HaMashiach al-Hashib al-Machios belvad. There's not going to be any difference. In other words, the world will operate as we see it right now. The only difference is Jewish autonomy. The Jews will live in an autonomous state. So Ma'ikal ha'me'emar, so now it comes out that according to Shmuel, there is no difference. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll answer the pasuk according to Shmuel. According to Shmuel, both points of the pasuk are talking about Olam Haba. And again, now, as much as we can understand, Machane Shechina, so there, no sun, no moon, no Olam. In other words, yeah, that's Machane Shechina. That's the camp of Shechina. Machane Tzadikim, some other area, again, to the best of our understanding. So there, sun, moon, illuminating, just as strong, just as powerful. Okay. Rava Rami. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Ani amis ve'achyeh, I will put to death, but I also bring back to life. Uksiv, machatzi ve'ani arpa, I will cause illness, but I will heal. Hashri chui machi marpa lo kol shekein. So now, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu can resurrect the dead, so you don't think he can help you with your cold? Right, you have the sniffles. If he can raise somebody from the dead, so Ella Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Masha Ani Memis Ani Mechaya Kemosha Machatzki Vani Erpa. You see how now in this world we live in, people get sick, they recover from their illness, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu did that. You see that? So just like he can do that, he can also resurrect the dead, not beyond. Tanu Rabbanan Ani Ames Ve'Echeyachol Misa Be'Echa Ve'Chaim Be'Echad. One way to interpret the pasuk the Gemara is going to end up rejecting is that he kills one, but he brings to life somebody else. Giderach Sha'olam Noeg. Much like what we see happening right now. People are born, people die. But the Gemara says, but that's not what the pasuk means. Tamalomar Machatzi Ve'Ni'arpa. Ma'maka Refua Be'echad Afisa V'Chaim Be'echad Mikan Chuval Omri Main Tchias HaMeis Min HaTorah. When we do, Kadosh Baruch Hu heals the sick, well, that's not talking about two different people. The only person you're healing is someone who got sick. So the first part of the pasuk is those who died, Akash Baruch will resurrect. And tshuva, this is one of the answers. The Gemara Sanhedrin goes over a number of them. One of the answers to those who say there's where do you see Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah? The reason why someone asked that question is because there's no explicit mention. But here, though, one reference, one inference in the Torah, there's a number of them. The Gemara Sanhedrin goes through a whole bunch of them of Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. So, Davar Acher. Or, if you'd like, I can give another pshat on the pasuk says the Gemara, and that is, look, there's going to be tchias ha-meisim, but chances are that right before the person died, he was very sick. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do is we'll resurrect the individual, bring him back to a life, and then ripui. Probably the person's going to need a refuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide that as well. top of Samaches Amud Beis. So a little bit more for this morning. Hector Chalav of Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Baru E Kama Chaviv a Mitzvah B'Shaita. Sherei Hector Chalav of the Evarim of Bedarim Kshem Kol Alayla the Ein Mamtinen Lahem Ad Shetach Shach. The Gemara makes an observation. It's a very straightforward observation. Look, we shechted the Karban Pesach today. We could really wait till tonight, meaning it's Shabbos. Right, it's the 14th day of Nisan that falls on Shabbos. So to burn the fats of the Karban, we really could wait till tonight. Why not? Meaning we know in general, fats are burned during the day, but if they're not burned during the day, they're burned at night. So really, we could push it off.
Assuming that the burning started there, you know, with the fats.
No. So what the Gemara's point is, the fact that the Mishnah is telling us that we start the burning of the fats during the day, what does that tell us? Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. That to do a mitzvah in its right time, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Meaning, you could have made the argument, you know, it's Shabbos, why not just wait till this evening? No. Once there's a mitzvah to start burning the fats during the day, so then it will even override the Shabbos, speaking to this idea that chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, doing a mitzvah in its proper time is chaviva. It's beautiful, it's beneficial, it's better. Har kavto v'hav aso. Okay, this will be our stopping point. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point in time. We'll go through the Mishnah here, the Mishnah in Erevin, cutting off of the wart with the kli, with the yad, how to explain the discrepancy in the Mishnah over there. Okay, we'll do all tomorrow. Okay, so today we finished up the mitzvah of Shiluach. We went over the shitas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda on the Braisa on Tlamach Zayin and Aleph. We went over why it is that Zav is more chamer than Tumas Meis, and why Mitzorah is more chamer than Zav, and why they necessarily mean that they're going to be ejected from an additional machane. We concluded the whole discussion of the Gemara regarding Shiluach. We then went over the Gemaras of the Agaritas of the Gemara, we described and explained what Michui was, what exactly is Michui in the Mishnah. Okay, either perforation or the pressuring of the intestines. And then we covered today the Agarita of the Gemara. We quoted the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, and once we were quoting the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, so then it engendered the Gemara's discussion of what's going to be Lasid Lavo, and we finished up today the idea of Mitzvah B'Shaita. Okay? Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef.